Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Landon Tengwall. Landon, my friend, how are you doing this week?
Jim, doing great this week. We're almost having a good week here, and it's a little cold up here in State College, man. The wind chill, it's those walks to class are rough in the morning. I'll tell you what, those 905s, it's hard trekking to those things.
Landon, we call that winter. By the way, just a quick note, I want to tell you, last week we did a fun show. We talked about in the background what it's like to be a Penn State football player. I had several people reach out to me and say they really enjoyed that show, Landon. So kudos to you. It was your idea, and apparently it went over very well.
No, I'm glad to hear it. I think a lot of times, you know, a lot of the fans, they don't get to get that full background of kind of what the whole year looks like for the players. Some people, I know they know that we're working out, but they don't know to what, you know, extreme, especially in the winter at 4 a.m. waking up when you first get here as a freshman, and then all the way to the bowl game. And we kind of covered all that in last week's show. So if you're interested in kind of hearing what that process is like for a freshman coming in and then what the whole year looks like for a Penn State football player, we cover that on the last week's show. So go check that out. It was definitely a fun show and I enjoyed it.
All right, let's move on to this week's topics and some things coming up. This is the last chance I'm going to get to chat with you before the Super Bowl coming up. And I wanted to ask you about that. It's the Chiefs, the 49ers. Do we have the two best teams there, Landon?
I definitely think so, Jim. Obviously, you would have asked me mid season in the NFL, I would have talked about your Eagles, Jim. But the implosion, I know Salty Jim's covering his ears over there, but you know the implosion that the Eagles had was pretty significant. It reminded me of the 2020 Steelers when we were 12-0 and then lost the last couple games. But I absolutely do think these are the two best teams. I think the Ravens were close. I think they got a couple pieces they got to put together, but it just kind of shows Mahomes. This is by far his worst Chiefs team that he has had since he's been there, really, and he's still taking them to the Super Bowl. I think in the media this past week we have seen a lot of GOAT comparisons. A couple people that were interviewing Tom Brady actually even brought it up to him and kind of tried to pose him the question to get him into the debate. And he's very much a professional. So he said, look, I've done a lot of great things in my time and Pat's going to continue to do great things in his time. But that debate's coming heavy. I mean, Mahomes has shown that he, maybe not in the right, and he wins a lot in the regular season and sometimes he'll drop a couple he shouldn't. But when it comes time for playoffs, Mahomes is ready to go and you better not bet against them. And then, on the flip side of that, with the 49ers, I think definitely the more well-rounded team. The defense is really just elite. And then, you can rely on a guy like Christian McCaffrey to carry the load, and then not even to mention Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, a bunch of those other guys, Brandon Ayuk around helping out. I think that's one of the reasons Brock Purdy has succeeded so well this year, just his surrounding cast. And I think, there has been questions raised if he's a game manager or not. But, when you're a GM and John Lynch and you put that team together, all you need is a game manager to take care of the football and just disperse it to the right guys at the right time. And, Purdy's done a great job of that so far. So I'm excited to see how this shapes out. The Chiefs' run defense isn't really that good. Pass defense is elite. So I don't know. We might see San Fran kind of more rely on that ground and pound with CMC and maybe get Deebo Samuel involved out of the backfield.
Well, it was interesting when you said this might not be one of Patrick Mahomes' better teams, but there's some aspects to it, like you mentioned, on the defense that is very good. And I wanted to ask you about something else. And I brought this up last week after Penn State basketball won their first game on the road against Rutgers. And trust me, I'm going to get there, Landon. I'm going to tie this together. And I made this statement that I think teams have to learn how to win. And in especially in the Big Ten, you've got to learn how to win on the road. It doesn't just happen automatically. Now, to take that analogy to NFL football, and you mentioned the Ravens, I think they have to learn how to win in the playoffs. And the Chiefs, no matter how they finish the regular season, if they make it to the tournament, you know, if they're in the playoffs, you know that's a team that knows how to win in the playoffs.
You're absolutely right, Jim. Having that experience is I mean, and we saw it with Michigan this year, just comparing different sports, different, you know, different leagues. Michigan was very veteran. I think that's why they were one of the favorites. They had a ton of fifth, six-year guys come back, guys that have already played in college football, playoffs, stuff like that. And like you said, in the NFL, it's the same thing. When you have that experience of winning, understanding what it takes to win an AFC championship, NFC championship, a Super Bowl, and also when you have a quarterback like Mahomes and you can kind of look up to that. And like I said, he's been there and he understands what it takes. It's almost easier to fall in line and let him lead versus we talk about the Ravens, and I love Lamar Jackson. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league and probably will be the MVP, but you know, his playoff record isn't there. The whole kind of thing or on him is that he can't win those super big games. He is 1-7 versus the Steelers. I have to throw it out there, Jim. I gotta give my Steelers a shout out. He's 1-7. Ravens are like 1-7 in the last 8 games. I gotta plug my guys in. But you know, he just hasn't. He doesn't have that experience. So it's gonna be interesting. I think obviously the experience is on the side of the Chiefs, even though the Chiefs and the Niners were, you know, Chiefs were just there and Niners were just there a couple years ago. But you know, it's having a guy like Mahomes who knows how to win those games. I just think that alone puts them above San Fran heading into this game. But as we talked about, I think it's really, as much as the Chiefs offense isn't as high powered as it was before, you hear the announcers talk about it. They've kind of understood that they needed to change their identity a little bit, losing Tyreek Hill. Mecole Hardman was a big part of their offense. It was straight speed. And that kind of just took a back seat. And it's more like, you know, still let Mahomes make those plays and sling it to Kelsey and a couple other guys. But Isaiah Pacheco, I think, is going to be the determining factor in this Super Bowl game. Can they get him going? Can he run like an angry man that looks like he wants to bite you? If you didn't hear that, he said that was what he said. He said he was told that he runs so angry it looks like he wants to bite someone. So that was a funny remark that he made. But he is a tough runner from Rutgers. I remember playing him a couple times, and you know, we would always say, "Hey, that guy's pretty nice, man." And now, you know, now look at him. He's doing his thing with the Chiefs. And so I think in the games where he's really got going, the Chiefs have found a lot of success, especially then through the play action game. And you know what Mahomes can do when, you know, you can kind of open up, you know, we've talked about it. When you open up that run game and you're succeeding, it just opens everything else up. So I really think it's going to come down to if the Chiefs can establish that run game, is going to be one of the biggest determining factors, how they're going to hang in this Super Bowl against the Niners.
I'm glad you brought up that you had played against Pacheco, and watching him play at Rutgers, I have a good friend who's a Rutgers guy, so it's made me kind of watch Rutgers a little bit more over the last couple of years. And I, by the way, he bought me a Rutgers hat for Christmas one year. So if you look social media somewhere, there's a picture of Jim wearing a Rutgers hat.
But is it in the garbage now?
I can't say it on the air, but anyway, he's still a friend of mine. But I do want to talk to you about that quarterback matchup. It's really fascinating because everyone knows, you know, Brock Purdy, last pick of the draft. I think that's really fascinating. And remember, Tom Brady was a low-round draft pick. I also think the whole Patrick Mahomes draft day was fascinating. If you remember, the Chiefs moved up in the draft to draft him with the, I believe it was the 10th pick. Do you know the quarterback who was chosen ahead of him that year and actually was the second pick of that draft?
Who was Sam Darnold? No, who was it?
Yeah, this is good radio with me shaking my head like that, Landon. The Bears traded up. They had the 3rd pick. They wanted to make sure they got him. I think Myles Garrett was the guaranteed 1st pick. Mm. They traded up to get to number 2 so they could draft Mitch Trubisky. And not only did Patrick Mahomes go number 10, but Deshaun Watson, I think, went somewhere in the teens. So if you're a Bears fan, I apologize for making you relive that.
Yeah, Jim, that's a rough one to think about. You know, hindsight is always 20/20, and Mahomes was considered a lot more raw than Trubisky at the time out of UNC. But you know, that does have to hurt. That has to hurt a lot. But no, you talk about this quarterback matchup, and I said something earlier about Brock Purdy and his supporting cast. Look, obviously we know Mahomes is much more talented. But it's also about you know who you have around you. I wouldn't say outside of Kelce and Pacheco, you know, his playmakers aren't exactly up to the standard that the 49ers have, at least at that. And you know, you look at a guy like MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, finally made a big catch at the end of the Ravens game, but all year has had penalties, has had issues with drops. Kadarius Toney was a big factor in their Super Bowl a couple of years ago against the San Francisco 49ers. He had a big punt return and then had a long touchdown. He was doing a couple big things for them, and he's kind of fallen off the map. And he took to social media to express his anger with essentially that he just had a child the night before the Ravens game, and they kind of listed him out for that reason. But then he came and said they basically told him, you know, he wasn't welcome to play for whatever reason. And he was airing his grievances on Instagram Live. So, you know, definitely a mess, you know, for Patrick Mahomes to kind of sort through. So it's a lot more difficult for him while Brock Purdy's sitting over there with George Kittle and Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and CMC. I mean, all the weapons, the best left tackle in football and Trent Williams. You know, so I'm excited to also see what Kyle Shanahan does and kind of how he schemes up against, like we talked about, this really good Chiefs, back half of that defense. They have a lot of speed back there. So I think you're going to see a lot more underneath stuff. And like I said, getting CMC involved as well is going to be pretty big against that Chiefs run defense, who has kind of struggled so far this year.
Make a pick for me.
Jim, we talked about it. I got to go with Mahomes. I can't go against him. I can't bet against Mahomes. He is the Tom Brady of this generation. And, you know, 10 years ago, are you betting against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl? I mean, maybe if you're a Giants fan, you might have made out good for a couple years. But generally, I can't bet against him. And I see Mahomes taking this one. I think it's going to be close. And I think just his talent and experience, what we talked about, he's been there. He knows how to get it done. I think that's ultimately how they're going to bring it home, through Mahomes, maybe creating something at the end with his legs. And, getting something to Travis Kelce, maybe a touchdown at the end, and then bring Taylor Swift on down and let the parade and confetti come down.
All right, Landon, that is it for quarter number one. But guess what? We got lots more to talk about. We are going to do that when we come back right after this break, so make sure that you stay tuned. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's Landon. It's quarter two. Landon, we spent quarter number one talking about the Super Bowl coming up. Something really to look forward to. I'm personally just happy with the matchup. I think both San Francisco and Kansas City, I could be wrong, but I just don't see this turning into a blowout game. I can't see that. And I think your pick of Mahomes, just that veteran experience, the guy's been there before, it's hard to bet against him.
You're right, Jim. And, you know, also you can't forget about Taylor Swift. They got the Swifties. I don't know if you're a Swiftie, Jim, but they got the Swifties on their side over there in Kansas City. I don't know. It's pretty powerful.
Let me give you my Taylor Swift take. And this is from an old guy. Okay. Here's the first thing. I can tell you that I have never heard a Taylor Swift song. Now, someone said, Jim, you may not have known it, but I'm sure you've heard it. I don't think so. I don't know. Okay. My other comment on this is I don't understand the guys like me, the cranky old men, why they have an issue with her. Now, I have an issue with the TV camera constantly going up to her in the private box. Let her alone. She's Kelsey's girlfriend. She's there supporting him. Go ahead. Tell me why.
Well, if anybody wants to look at Colin Cowherd's show, he actually went through, and I think the New York Times did this, and they went through every single game since they've been dating that she has been at, and they timed how long she was actually on the camera for. And surprisingly enough, I think there might have been one singular game she was on the camera for more than 30 seconds total. So that everybody's kind of up in arms saying that she's on too much, and you know they show her after every big play that Kelsey makes. You know, and I do think they'll cut to her for a second or 2 seconds. And if you do that 8 times a game, it's going to feel like a lot. But when you think about a 3.5 hour, 4 hour broadcast, and this is the point that Colin Cowherd makes, think about how many commercials there are. You're seeing celebrities, you're seeing Taylor Swift, you're seeing, you know, all these different, you know, rappers, singers, anyways, on these commercials. You know, how different is seeing Taylor Swift for 20 seconds throughout an entire broadcast? How's that bad? How's that bad? How is that too much? So that's kind of, it's interesting that the New York Times did that and went through and kind of really locked down how long she was shown for each game. And like I said, I think the most was like 33 seconds in one game. And some games it was in the single digits for, you know, they showed her for a total of 8 seconds. So it's definitely interesting. I'm sure the Super Bowl will be the most out of any. Absolutely. I think the viewership will be way up. I don't know if they'll get her. She doesn't really need any money, but I don't know if they pay her a big check. She might put out a tweet or something. Hey, tune into the Super Bowl, and boom, right there, you get millions of new, you know, people watching it that probably weren't going to watch it. So there is that side of it.
Well, you're going to get the Swifties that will come in and watch. You're going to sell a lot more merchandise. I mean, she's worth a lot to the NFL. They're making money off her, and I guess I can't blame them for that. The only time, and I'll maybe argue the 30-second thing, and they checked it, maybe they're right. But you mentioned Salty Jim. There was a week Salty Jim appeared when – here's what they did. I know I said this before. It's worth repeating, though. I was – recording like Sunday, and I went and just turned on the TV briefly to just check NFL scores landed. And sure enough, Kansas City's playing. It's approaching halftime, and I think Kelsey gets a touchdown catch. They went to, you know, one of those 30-second commercials where they don't cut away, they stay at the stadium, and it's a split screen. So them staying at the stadium, the entire length of that commercial was in Taylor Swift's box on her. The entire time. Then when they came back, CBS put up a graphic about the chief statistics when she's there versus when she's not. Okay. And then you'd think, okay, maybe that's kind of a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing. It's a little bit fun and funny. No, then Tony Romo comes on and gives a serious analysis of how and why Travis Kelce plays better with Taylor Swift in there attending the game. You know, your focus is better when you have that special someone there. And he was serious, Landon. So I have no problem with her being there, but I have the issue with the TV coverage and technical analysis about it.
Hey, Jim, I this is the last thing I'll say, but I somewhat like Tony Romo. I remember he was a little too serious with that. But you know, when your girl shows up to the basketball game, I know you were playing your best ball back in the day, Jim. I know that got you going back in those days in the middle of nowhere, PA.
my girl was always there because Landon, you know, dating a cheerleader, okay. So, of course, you had to be there.
There you go, Jim. Locking down the cheerleader and scoring threes.
Scoring on and off the court, Landon. All right, let's move on. I am sure no one wants to hear more about that. Let's move to a more serious topic. Let's talk about the NCAA. They're really in the news the last couple of weeks. Both They are investigating Florida. They're investigating Tennessee. I think they penalized Florida State. And it all has to do with the NIL. And what's interesting now is both the state of Tennessee and the state of Virginia, they have their – each one of their attorney general is going after the NCAA and suing them. First of all, just the overview, what is your – what are your thoughts on this whole ordeal?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's shocking because, first off, the NCAA has had such a monopoly over us players for so long. My initial reaction, and I think a lot of people, is, you know, it's almost rude against the NCAA. It's just, you know, as a player, a lot of former players that I've talked to, you know, you feel, we almost feel kind of wronged for so long that no one got anything. It's almost like, forget about it. Forget the NCAA. You know, I hope they lose. But, you know, we were talking off air and, you know, so essentially what happened is, you know, these colleges were doing some illegal stuff with NIL terms. And I don't even know how you can do too much illegal stuff in NIL just because it's so just open. Everything's open. But, you know, there was a mention that I saw that in Tennessee, they were bringing some players, to meet different boosters and stuff like that before they had even signed. And, you know, those are all violations. You can't be meeting with collectives before you sign, because then that looks like you're trying to entice them with NIL money or the collective. And I remember when Nico Lamileva, when he was getting, you know, he was a five-star, he was getting all these offers and stuff. And it came out that Tennessee was offering him $5 million plus and stuff like that. And I'm sure that raised a big red flag for the NCAA. I don't think that fell upon them lightly. And, you know, I think a lot of these schools were somewhat careless with what they were doing, like I talked about, just allowing athletes to meet other people. And also, from my understanding, in Tennessee, it's not really just the football collective. There was many other sports that they're kind of going after, too. It's really interesting. And on top of that, they basically told them, I mean, the collectives can't have any contact right now or really operate at all with any of these players. So now you got Tennessee players, Virginia players, Florida players at Florida not getting paid the month of January, maybe February too. You know, there is that. I'm sure a lot of them have funding and have some boosters that can back them and maybe be able to just grab some quick funds to give these guys, you know, their monthly payments. But, you know, you're a superstar and you're expecting your whatever $30,000, $50,000 direct deposit on the first, and it's not coming through, Jim. You're threatening the transfer portal nowadays if you're not paying me. So, you know, first, there is that side of that. There's a lot to dissect there. And then talk about legal-wise, it's really interesting. The NCAA has had a bad record in court. They get beat down. There's not too often that the Supreme Court is 9-0, very rarely. And this was one of the cases as far as allowing the athletes to capitalize on NIL. So I would venture to say we're going to see similar nature here of the courts deciding with the collectives, with the players, with the colleges. I think so many people are fed up of the monopoly that the NCAA has over everybody. And they just want to let these players be free, do their own thing. Now, the question that this does pose, say that the state attorney generals in Virginia and in Tennessee, let's say they both win, they wipe the floor with the NCAA, the, you know, whatever restrictions the NCAA tried to put on these schools is completely taken off. Well, that sets a precedent, Jim, for everybody else. Hey, you can't get penalized for NIL, any NIL infraction or anything like that, because it's pretty clear. It's, you know, it's, no one's really denying that it happened. We all know that it happened. You know, we saw what went on. We know, of course, there's players being offered money and stuff like that. But they kind of, you know, they win in court, and that sends a message to everybody that, you know, NIL is here to stay, and there is really no rules involved with it.
Well, let me start with this, Landon, because, you know, a lot of my peeps, my old guys, you know, it's not like it was in my day, you know, and they think it's totally and completely wrong that players are getting paid at all. Now, I don't believe that at all. I think the players are the game, and there's billions of dollars. So yes, with a B going on there, and they deserve compensation for it. Now, the question, and I'm sure this is going to leak into the next segment. I'm not giving you much time to answer this, but Landon, the question is it right to say, you know what, NIL money should be completely independent of you coming out of high school, being recruited and going to a school, or from the transfer portal coming to a school? And I'm going to just kind of start, I'm going to go four corners here and just fill out the end of this segment, because I want to give you, you know, enough time to think about it and give a full answer to this question, Landon, which as a player, do you think that's, I'm not even sure fair is the right word, if it's right to say, you know what, there does need to be some kind of rule, some kind of restriction. And where we're going to draw the line is we're going to say, Landon, once you get to Penn State, you can make as much money as you want with NIL, but you can't have West Virginia showing up at Landon's doorstep to say, hey, come on over to West Virginia and we'll pay you more than what they're paying you at Penn State. So I successfully stalled, ended this segment. You get a chance to think about it, Landon, and we come back, you get to give us a complete answer. Stay tuned. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon Tengwall. I'm Jim Galante. We're having a real good conversation about what's going on with the NCAA, NIL. The NCAA is trying to actually enforce the rules. Some places, specifically Tennessee and Virginia, the state attorneys general in those two states are countersuing the NCAA. And the crux of the matter is this. The rule, essentially, from the NCAA is, if you're a collegiate athlete, the collectives or the schools, they cannot provide money to you to pick Penn State, whether you're coming out of high school or in the transfer portal. Not, and it's, of course, not just Penn State. This is across the country. If you can't give a player the incentive to attend the school. Once he attends the school, he can do whatever he wants. He can make as much as he wants with NIL. So my question to you, Landon, is that a fair rule? Does it make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair, and I think that helps with stealing players, although it's not really being enforced. Something that we have talked about in the past is maybe signing some type of contract. There's been a couple different head coaches that have brought this up, the idea of basically locking guys into a contract, similar to the NFL, where there is, you know, certain cases where, you know, things happen, contract might be thrown out or what may have you, it just something happens. But I think you're not going to be able to stop people, you know, a guy being committed to Florida and Georgia comes along and say, hey, you know, how much are they paying you? And, you know, 100,000. All right, we'll double it. I think it's hard to stop that because you really can't prove that it's happening unless you get caught red-handed in cases like Tennessee and a couple other schools. So I think the best course of action for the NCAA is, one, they need to get complete control of this. And it's looking like it's hard for them to do that when the courts are completely ruling against them. But I think some form of contracts, locking guys into schools, taking away the ability to just hop in the transfer portal seven times in one career if you want to. I think we need to go back to, you know, maybe allow once in your undergrad, and then if you want a grad transfer, you can transfer. But I think this kind of needs to go away, where we got, you know, one guy at four or five different schools throughout his career. I just think that's going to continue to get worse with NIL. And it really, you know, people say it's free agency every year, and it really is. So it doesn't look like too much is going to change in the courts. I kind of see them continuing to side with the collectives and the players. So I think the NCAA needs to act here and come up with some type of rule change as far as, you know, really how often a player is allowed to leave as far as the transfer portal. And obviously they will keep the rule that you can't coax a player away with money. But like I said, I don't think it's hard to prove that someone's doing that. And I think it's going to continue to happen. So I think the best way to neutralize that is not allow guys to just transfer after every season. Now, granted, that still kind of begs the question coming out of high school, is that going to happen? And, you know, at the end of the day, I think that's going to continue to happen in high school no matter what. But it almost evens it out for people coming out of high school, you know, with the ability with NIL. Obviously, there's schools that have more money than others. But, you know, that high five-star or really high four-star that, you know, normally would either his top four would be Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Penn State. Well, now maybe someone might sneak in a random, you know, Mizzou, something like that, just because they say, hey, we got $500K, we got $1 million for you. Well, you're only, you know, maybe you're high four-star, but Ohio State is only saying, you know, 250K. So you might be more inclined to go to a smaller school. So, you know, there is that side of it. It makes it a little bit more even, I'd say, in terms of people, you know, high school recruiting. But, you know, I'm more looking at the transfer portal and kind of what's going on with what we saw with Judkins from Ole Miss, stuff like that, where you're a superstar at your school and you just leave solely based off NIL and money because you're not getting, you know, exactly what you wanted. I think we need to lock guys into contracts and start to kind of go about it in a more NFL-like way.
I agree with you, and that might be the one solution is some kind of contract. And that may be, and I saw one suggestion, which it was the player himself would have an option where if you're, you know, commit to multiple years, perhaps 2 or 3 years at a specific school, you're guaranteed to get X amount of dollars. Now, a superstar may not want to lock himself in, bet on himself, but at least you would have a base of players who would stick around. Now, you know, my initial question of is it fair, this idea of enforcing you can't use money to incentivize a guy to attend your school? It may be fair, but the problem is when you go to the courts, you are restricting how much someone could make. So, Landon, if you were able to get NIL money coming out of high school, you might get $1 million going to the highest bidder. But you're not getting that opportunity because the NCAA doesn't allow it. That doesn't, in the, you know, the general world, that's not right. You know, if you just happen to be the greatest piano player in the world and some group wants you, some orchestra coming out of high school, they can't restrict you from, you know, making a living somewhere, or you're an engineer or some kind of programmer. So I think the courts look at this as any restriction on your ability to make more money. That's not the American way. And, you know, that is an issue. Now, my next question to all of this, though, is we're all, you know, gnashing our teeth and rubbing our hands like, oh, my goodness, what is happening to this game that we love? My question to you, Landon, Is it really a problem? I mean, for years, for the last decade and a half, Alabama was the best team, never really threatened except by Clemson. You knew Georgia and Ohio State. That was it. Those were the best teams. Every year they would take up like 3 out of the 4 playoff spots. But hey, this past year, the last couple of years, we saw Michigan. I know they're nobody's underdog, but that's new, them getting into the playoffs. TCU made the playoffs. Washington made the playoffs. Oregon made the playoffs. I would say we have more parity now in these last couple of years with NIL than we did before.
Yeah,
do
Jim,
we even have a problem?
I personally, I don't think so. I think it's great for college football. Like you just rattled off four or five different teams that really weren't in a college football playoff since it began in 2014. And, you know, just in the NIL era, we have that many new teams. First off, I think that's awesome. I think it's great for college football. And as much as it was cool to see the reign of Alabama for a while, or it was really just Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, that gets kind of tiring and people get fatigued from that. They don't really want to see that. So, you know, that's the first thing. I think as far as being, you know, traditional college football, it is completely going out the window. I think the future is going to be very different. I think amateurism in college football is also going out the window. That's done. Now, what that question does pose is, from an academic standpoint, what is that going to look like? Because we start talking about contracts. I think we see salaries coming in the near future, which I think, like we talked about, leads to contracts. So I think we see guys signing contracts for a certain amount of salaries. And, you know, and just in the NFL, I think there's going to be salaries set for each position and top guys at each position. That's kind of what you're going to see eventually here, you know, in the college football world. The question that begs is, then is there a unionization of college football players, which I think is also coming soon. Like I talked about, I think almost all college football players are fed up with the NCAA. They don't want to deal with them anymore. The NFLPA, I actually knew the guy who was the head for a while. They do a lot of fighting. They go to bat for their guys. And we don't really have that as players here in college football. I think that's going to be extremely important to get going, to get someone to kind of lead that unionization of college football players. But then, you know, once you're unionized and you're signing contracts, making a salary, are you even a student athlete anymore? How are they going to make you go to class? How, I mean, you're going to be taxed on every, you're going to get taxed just like they do in the NFL. They get taxed on all their gear, all, you know, are you going to be taxed on scholarship now too? You know, are you going to have to technically pay your own scholarship? Is it going to be some type of option? You can go to school too if you want. I mean, how many guys are really going to do that? You know, are we going to see colleges say it's some certain colleges say, you know, our guys, it's mandatory they go to college? I think if something like this happened, I know Coach Franklin's philosophy. He still wants us in school. I don't know that. I just think there's just a whole mess that's going to go on. And I think the NCAA is going to change in these 2020s, in this 10-year span. I think it's going to change more in that span than it will in the past 100 years. It's going to be exciting.
Well, one of the things that I think happens when you have this kind of sea change is there's the unintended consequences. Now, you brought up Judkins going from Ole Miss to Ohio State. Here is the star player. But there's a little more to that story than just him going. Ole Miss was bringing in a lot of players in the portal and paying them. And I think the end result was Judkins saying, hey, wait a minute. I've been here a while. I've been a star. Where's my cut? My point being that I'm not sure it's going to be so easy for someone just to corner the NIL and transfer portal market, that there'll be market corrections to this. And we've talked about this before. Texas A&M came out of the blocks flying, spending a lot of money. And where did it get them?
I hear you. They got them nothing. And I've seen that with a couple schools happen with Miami too. I think we are seeing, you know, the value of having a strong booster program too. I mean, you look at Ohio State, their new AD came from A&M. That's where they were kind of getting all that money. Big time oil guy. Has just unlimited resources. And I think that's what we're seeing. We saw Ohio State spend $13, $14 million on NIL this year. And it's, you know, it's completely changing the landscape. I mean, you got everybody's going to be a millionaire in the near future, Jim. That's kind of, you know, if you're starting on a college football team, I could see that, you know, maybe not a full millionaire, but making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for anybody who's really starting on any of these big time programs. And it's not amateurism. I mean, it's not really college football. It's different, but I'm a fan of it.
It's different, but why should I care? Why should I care if the player's making lots of money? There's billions of dollars coming into it. Why not give the money to the guys who are earning it. Anyway, I have more questions for you, Landon. We're going to get that when we come back. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's the fourth quarter. He's Landon, I'm Jim, and we're having a real good conversation about this. Everything going on in the NCAA with the lawsuits, the counter lawsuits, and everything about NIL, which is essentially the Wild West. And how we finished up the last quarter, Landon, was the question of a lot of people are really upset by everything. Yes, the game is changing, but my feeling is, you know what? It's going to settle down, you know. Is Texas A&M and those oil barons going to keep throwing millions of dollars at the team if they don't win? Ohio State this year appears to be all in. You know what? If they don't win it all, what then? Are these donors going to be just as willing to put the money out there, Landon? And in the second part to the, I guess it's a statement more than a question, is are we going to find out that it's still about smart coaches, smart administration, just like in professional sports. In baseball, the Tampa Bay Rays have one of the smallest payrolls, but they always seem to win 90 games because they're just better at it.
Yeah.
Is that what we're going to find out ultimately here?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, that's still going to be the most important thing, having a great coach, having a team that is a family. I think you look every year at the NFL offseason, and every year there's that one team that gets five or six big free agents. You know, look at the New York Jets this past year, the Broncos the year before that, and you can go all the way back. And almost every single time, that team does not pan out to be, you know, the Super Bowl contender that they were being called in April. And when, you know, when October and November swing around, they have a couple wins to show for it. So I think you'll see that in college football with a bunch of teams, as we have seen previously with, you know, we talked about it, Miami, Texas A&M, those guys who are just throwing money at a bad scenario. I think in life, Jim, and, you know, you got some experience on me, but in life, throwing more and more money at a bad scenario is never a good thing. So I think throwing a lot of money at the right scenario, esque Ohio State, still to be seen how it's going to work out. But, you know, a coach like Ryan Day, who still has some question marks, couldn't get over the hump against Michigan. But obviously Michigan is going through a lot right now, and I don't think they're going to be the same team that they have been. I think, like I said, throwing money in the right scenario is going to continue to bode well for certain teams. But I think we are going to continue to see a lot of money being thrown around and actually continue to hurt teams more. And then, you know, real quick, I also want to talk about, for those older guys, or, you know, even if you're younger and you have that opinion that you don't really like where college football is going, I had a good conversation with Mike Poorman. If anybody knows him, he's a beat writer for Penn State for a long time, head of communications of alumni, really connected guy. I still give him the props of giving me my hardest interview question ever as a player. He would ask some tough ones. And he taught me in class. And he came up to me and he was kind of discussing this slideshow that he made where it was talking about revenue sharing. And in the NFL, it's right around 50-50 between the players and the teams and then, you know, the NFL and what they keep. Well, you know, obviously NIL numbers are not finalized, but he did as much research as he could. And it was somewhere around the NCAA getting about 75% of all the money that's being, you know, revenue that's being generated in the NCAA. And the players getting around 25, maybe even less. That's not good. I think that's completely unfair. I think just in any world where it's not close to 50-50, I think that's pretty ridiculous, especially in a world where these guys, where we have been making almost nothing for the past, you know, 60, 70, 80 years in the NCAA. It is time to flip the script and at least make it 50-50. And I'd even argue to a certain extent that just almost we almost deserve more as players, maybe as far as the revenue sharing, than guys in the NFL are getting, just because of what everybody's kind of been through and the battles they've had to fight. So, you know, I just do want to put that out there of just kind of giving people an idea of how much revenue is being shared with these NFL players compared to these college football players. And like I said, it's no definite number, but I can guarantee it's a significant less amount that is being shared with the college football players than, say, NFL players or NBA players or MLB players. So I think that is something interesting to bring up.
It is. Now, I'm going to play a little devil's advocate with you, and I think you're aware that I believe the players should be making money. Now, the question of how much, and I think the other side of the argument that's going to come out here, Landon, is do they, if football players are getting paid, should the lacrosse players be getting paid? Should the volleyball players be getting paid? You know, we have this argument, you hear it in professional sports, like professional soccer, where women's soccer doesn't get paid like the men are. Gee, that's not fair. That's not equal. Now, just for full disclosure, here's my take is, you know, the people who make the money, who produce the product to make the money, are the ones who should get paid. So if football's a revenue sport, those are the players who should get paid. But what you also have is, like at Penn State, with the athletic department being self-sufficient, you know, it's the football dollars that also support the other sports. That's not something the NFL teams have to worry about, Landon.
Yeah, I do think you're right. There is that side of it, Jim, where, you know, there's Title IX stuff, a lot of legal things that you have to look into. And I think that's why it was so easy to go along with the NIL side. I think the NCAA was getting a lot of pressure. Hey, these people need to start making money in some way because this isn't fair. And I think their easiest solution was the NIL. And I think they regret that. But at the time, as you mentioned, it's really difficult to figure out a way, like I was talking about earlier with salaries and contracts. It's not like you can just do that with football, you know, in the NCAA, do that with football and not do that with volleyball, basketball, you know, track and field. If you're going to do it, you know, one way, you have to do that for all of the sports if you're going to do it for one sport. So I think that gets really messy because, as you mentioned, you know, they just other sports just aren't bringing in as much as football. And it's really that simple. I think that it was nice with NIL, and even just talking to a bunch of people in the NIL world, it's nice for look, the average, and I heard this from multiple NIL agents, the average college you know, women's basketball player compared to the average men's basketball player, the woman's made a lot more because they're so marketable on social media. No one wants to look at a big ugly, you know, big ugly dude like me, Jim. They want to look at a pretty young girl that's playing, you know, playing basketball or what may have you. But that's, so there is that side of it. If you go the salary route and kind of not, I don't think they'd ever take away NIL, but it's not really what it is anymore. It's going to be more similar to the NFL, how all the big name guys get all the, you know, get all the commercials and all that type of stuff. And there's, you know, some stuff trickles down to the other guys. But, you know, you kind of take that away. And I, you know, I do think it kind of harms some other people. It hurts people, you know, not in the football world. So that's a big piece that the NCAA is going to have to navigate. And like you said, it's so complex with just having a million other sports. And like you mentioned, NFL, NBA, they don't have to deal with that type of stuff. And even with the WNBA and the NBA, you know, there is a lot of conversation about they don't think they get paid enough. And, you know, that's not fair and that whole thing. So, you know, I think the last thing the NCAA also wants to do is create controversy within themselves with maybe, you know, paying a lot more to men's sports than women's sports. And then, like I said, you get in the Title IX violations and stuff like that. It's really messy. So as much as I say that I think contracts and you know, people signing, you know, for salaries and stuff like that is in the near future, there's a lot of stuff that needs to get sorted through until that happens. I do think it's going to happen eventually, but there's a ton of logistics that, that the NCAA and all these colleges are going to have to navigate.
I saw a post on social media about the Boston College coach left to take a coordinator position in the NFL. And the comment made was essentially, way to go, NCAA. See, you drove another guy out who didn't like NIL. Okay, and you know what? I get that. I don't like that, that a good college coach says, you know what? I'm out. You know, if Nick Saban, maybe part of all this NIL stuff made him go, all right, I'm out. I've had enough. But what do we expect from the NCAA? You know, they had rules. But guess what? The Supreme Court slapped them down. Now they have some rules trying to, you know, put some bumpers here on this NIL thing. And guess what? Instantly, they get taken back to court. And you and I talked about it. There's a very good chance they're not going to win. So, you know, I'll make you king of the NCAA, Landon. What can be done?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Jim, they're in a pickle. It's almost like nothing they do is right, and they just keep getting yelled at, essentially. You know, it's one of the – everybody was begging for something like NIL to come along, and they say, okay, you know, go ahead and do your thing. And then we got – now we got Deion Sanders taking to Twitter, trashing the NCAA for how NIL, you know, has gone about and saying that we lost the GOAT of college football, you know, Nick Saban, calling Nick Saban the GOAT of college football, saying we lost him because of NIL. But then you're also going back and you're taking advantage of it, and your sons are buying you a mansion out in Colorado with their NIL money. So, you know, which one is it, Deion Sanders? Do you hate it? Do you love it? You know, I think that was him. You know, that was more him trying to get some Alabama players when he put that out. But it really is. It's like the NCAA just can't do right now. And I, you know, they've lived a good life for the past, you know, whatever, 100 years. They've been doing their thing, and now they're going through it a little bit. They are feeling the repercussions of essentially just having 100 years of basically more or less having all this revenue and getting to keep 100% of it. I mean, outside, I mean, most schools, you get around a $2,000 stipend a month. And, you know, that comes from athletics, and that's really has nothing to do with the revenue sharing. I mean, it is time for players to get theirs. And I think everybody's fed up with the NCAA. And they are kind of feeling the wrath from not only colleges and collectives, but the U.S. government too. And as we know, nobody wins against the U.S. government, Jim. No one has a good record against us. We got two world wars under our belt. I don't know if the NCAA is winning against them in court anytime soon. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see.
Well, and I think you put it well earlier when you said the Supreme Court ruled against them 9-0, and the Supreme Court doesn't vote 9-0 on anything. So, you know, they didn't have a chance. And not only did they lose 9-0, they got scolded. They got reprimanded. They got schooled in the report afterwards. So they are in a tough position, Landon. And you know what? It gives us stuff to talk about, though. So anyway. Thank you so much, Landon. Great show. Great job. And thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.